Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio in a few is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. Also joining us today, and I can't wait for you to talk to him, is Steve Palaszewski.
Hello, 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 hello.
We'll give a shout out this morning to Chris and Marjane Hamilton. Congratulations on the anniversary yesterday. Time flies. 9 years. Oh my goodness. You look so young, Marjane. I don't know how that happened. I could see it on Chris. Happy birthday, Renee. Happy birthday to you, Renee. Give a shout out this morning to Sophia up in Toys R Us this morning. I saw all the love on the do. That was so, so awesome. I'm sending it back to you. Give a shout out this morning to Gina in Texas. You are so encouraging, Gina. Keep it up, girl. Give a shout out to Sarah. Give a shout out this morning to Sharon and Brett in Denver, Aurora, California. California.
Colorado. Aurora,
Colorado. We'll give a shout out this morning to Bill Holzinger. We're just praying for a quick recovery with that knee surgery. That thing was huge, dude. Morning, 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 morning. You are listening to VFN Radio, and I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And Steve Palaszewski.
Good morning.
Good morning. So glad to have you guys with me this morning. We're excited about spending time with all our VFN Radio listeners. My goodness, we have so much to share as usual. If you missed yesterday, you got to catch all the wonderful things that were shared. It was just, it was humorous. I thought some of it was obviously some serious as well. We like to balance the two, but there's a particular part, you can see it on the highlights or also on the VFN TV blog called Up to Now Everything's Been Okay. You know, and that's kind of like where things are. I mean, you gotta hear that. You gotta know that, you know, we've been really blessed. We've been really blessed. I mean, God has really blessed us. But, you know, there comes a point in time, as the little boy says, the 7-year-old boy says, this toast is burnt like the devil. And, you know, and we have to do something about it. But there's wonderful digital tracking of the population is talked about in God's News, Behind the News, with the healthcare, with India and China. Do you want to be the one that actually reads the books or writes the books about what God is doing? Do you want to participate in it? It's a trap. Don't do that. Talking about the words of wisdom and getting the word out, how we got here to VFN Radio and VFNTV.com, and something very humorous. You know, John, who joins us on VFN Radio, he and his son, he talks about, He toted
a pool.
A pool on his back down Market Street in Jersey. Elijah, Maya, Isaiah, I think he loves you. That's what that means. That's what it means. You know, just we had a wonderful time yesterday, and there's just so many things that we talked about as well. You know, and we found it, and we're going to make it available. It is available now on the VFN TV blog. But we just want to remember we were talking about an old Wendy's commercial, a classic Wendy's commercial, you know, and they had to pull it because it wasn't politically correct. And it was about, you know, communism and how there's not a lot of choices. You just got to take what they give you. And so you have these ladies coming out, and they have this one lady who looks like a general in a man's military. And she goes, "That's day there," you know, and she's day wear. And she's the model show, fashion show starts going on. And so then a lady walks out, and it looks like a gray, drab hospital gown, you know. And then, they go, "And next evening wear, or something like that. And all of a sudden she walks out with a flashlight. The same dress with a flashlight. You got to see this. And the reason why, well, let's just see it first. You got to see this. We're going to make this available on VFN TV blog. You guys, look at this thing. This is hilarious.
You hook it up.
Pay attention, please. Oh, my goodness. You. Oh, my, look at this.
It's next day there. Really nice. It's next evening there.
A flashlight. The same dress with a flashlight.
Having no choice is no fun. That's why at Wendy's, every hamburger isn't dressed the same.
You'll get your choice of fresh toppings,
fresh tomatoes, fresh lettuce, fresh onions, cheese.
Watch this.
Bacon,
next, the next is beachwear. Hold on a second.
Choice is better than none.
Is next. That's one there. Swimwear.
Beach ball.
Choose fresh. Choose Wendy's.
Oh my goodness!
They pulled that.
Oh my goodness! They pulled it. They actually pulled it right away. They pulled it right away, and because it wasn't politically correct. Well, that's gotten to somewhere, hasn't it? That is hilarious. You got to see it. It's on the VFN TV blog. And the reason why, other than the fact we really think it's funny and we wanted to see it again ourselves, is that they had no choices. And what a hamburger company was saying was, do we give you choices? With the new health care plan coming up, and we're really into health care. If you have not heard, you know, as we saw God's news behind the news, you got to hear the perspective, because it's you got to hear. We can't just be just thinking about how it's going to be. And we're familiar with how it could be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Right.
Stand in line.
I'm having a heart attack. You're 12th. Alpha.
Next.
And so, how are you doing? Next.
Thank you. Next.
And so I can see it now, you know, just like this. And next, heart attack. You know what I'm saying?
Not good.
Somehow, you know, you can bring that wisdom together and bring, you know, good health care. I mean, we have to rethink. I mean, think about it. I'm going to talk about today about rethinking church. You know, if God's creation, the earth, and God's people that he's called out from amongst the people who love him and follow him, sometimes we have to rethink what we're doing. It's okay to think about. We need to rethink healthcare. I mean, we need to rethink it, but we don't need to put it in the hands of an oppressor, of a people that change every 4 years, and sometimes change four times within that 4 years. Mm-hmm. Although the same person's there, depending on which way the polls are blowing. And so, you know, this is a very serious thing, you know, when somebody's being taken care of. As a matter of fact, I just want to give a shout out this morning to Pam and let you know that we're praying for you. And I pray for you this morning, and all of our listeners, if you'd pray for Pam this morning. She's going through surgery, and we're just believing good God things and can't wait to hear the testimony about that. But, you know, it is a relevant situation. But the truth is, when you turn things over to government, have you been to the driver's license office? It's just like, didn't I see you in a grocery store? Now I feel like I'm in Russia and you're forcing me. It's like, what happened? What is the mentality here? Why would you treat my wife that way when we're in here getting our whatever, you know, who, my son or whoever's getting a driver's license or, you know, a tag exchange? You sit there with a how'd that feel? That was a percussion. That was Pat's head.
That felt really good.
He's like Mr. Microphone across your head now. The
let's move on.
Yeah. The do we need to call rescue or something?
We might
get a first aid kit. There.
Yeah, we're
all right.
Back to what we were talking about. And so you're going to the tag office, and it's really efficient. The tag office is efficient, and it's really efficient. I mean, you go in there, and there's this like this real red thing hanging, and you just has number. You pull this little piece of paper out, and you look around trying to think, am I in the right area? Because they're not going to talk to you and tell you nothing. So I went once, and I pulled the ticket, and I was getting my IABI tag. I pulled the ticket, and nobody's. I'm looking around. They go, I don't know. So I just sat by a chair. The ticket machine's there, so I sat by the chair. And I'm seeing people come, and I'm seeing people go, and I'm thinking, fine. I said, listen, I got to know. I pulled a number, but I'm seeing people come and go. They're, oh, sir, you're going to need, and they told me to go to a different area. But when I was trying to find the different area to begin with, they didn't tell me that. Well, that's just a car tag. Besides, I enjoyed meeting the military soldier that was there beside me. We were talking about his ventures in military. He was from Texas. And but I'm thinking, that's okay for a car tag. But if you're having a heart attack and you pull the wrong number with government health care and you're sitting in a room waiting to be called, and all of a sudden they say, oh, I'm sorry, you're in the brain surgery area.
Oh my God.
Which might be a good idea, you know. But think about it. That was it's going to have to be that way when you're handling mass people. When you think about VA, you know, that when you go to VA and they do a wonderful job handling a mass amount of people, it just changes the whole scheme of things. I mean, they're really, really efficient, but don't plan on having small talk, you know, because you're moving in and moving out, you know, and there could be some sort of, you know, blending of all these kind of concepts and rethinking it. But, yeah, so we play, you know, we're thinking about when you look at that Wendy's commercial, there wasn't much variation between the three. And she actually wore the same dress, the same gray hospital gown. You know, for those that haven't seen it yet, you can see it on the VFNTV blog. Go to VFNTV.com. Is the only thing, three things were different was with the day wear, she just wore the dress, the gray blot dress. With the night wear, she carried a flashlight with her.
A very big flashlight.
A very big flashlight. Yeah. And then she shined it across the audience while she was posing, you know, and she was big bone. Like me. And then her swimwear was the very
swimwear
with a beach ball. And so, and realize when we're talking about government providing something, not only is it going to be, it's, you know, it's going to be like that. not only is it going to be like that. Oh my goodness, that is totally amazing. Anyway, so kind of in-house thing happening here. Yeah, it's attached. And so where was I? And so
government.
Yeah. It's going to be that when you want to handle massive amounts of people, that it's going to be real quick. It's going to be just, you know, and that's what you're saying. And nothing like a doctor today that's not in governmental medicine, how he spends a good 3 minutes with you. We don't want to break that pattern. Call. How you doing? How's the wife? Okay, see you. It's like, what just happened? You know, I think we just need to rethink it because, you know, from the whole, probably top down in regards to the industry, not necessarily government involvement. But we as the church need to get involved, like the Methodist hospitals and the Catholic hospitals and, you know, different hospitals. We can do that ourselves, by the way. I know that two churches of our type expressions, for example, four churches of our type expression, Vine Fellowship Network, they saw that all the schools were leaving the inner city. And they were thinking, should we leave the inner city or should we stay here? And what they decided to do, four what we would call more micro-type churches, smaller churches, that they started the school. They restarted a school in the area. Two of our type of churches gave over $1 million to missions in 1 year. There's something, I'm telling you, we're going to talk today about rethinking church. Listen, it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, and men's tradition is sucking dry, you know, the resources for that which can actually advance the kingdom and be able to meet needs that are taking place out there. It's just that there's another way to be able to do it. When you're paying $1.3 million per baptized believer, according to George Barna and the Barna Group, you know what I'm saying?
That's not good.
That's not good at all. I mean, if you actually find, you know, I don't know, 10 people and give them $100,000 each and say, listen, I'll pay for your house. I'll help you. Jesus loves you. They'll probably accept Jesus as their Lord, and you would have won 10 converts. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, think about it. If Jesus came and says, what can I do for you? Right? Mm-hmm. And some people needed, you know, a financial blessing. Some people needed healing. But right now, a lot of people need a financial blessing. Mm-hmm. So imagine if they just help them with their rent.
Right.
I'm going to just take 10% of that $1.3 million.
Really?
You know? And just go here. And you'll find out people go, well, wow. Wow. You know what I'm saying? It's just totally amazing. Mm. Totally amazing. There's nothing more exciting than just to get in the work, you know. So what's been going on, Steve? Talk to us. We're glad to have you on. I know you're counting down the days. On my last time we were talking, and you're preparing for a church plant in Pittsburgh, VFM Pittsburgh. Tell us what's up.
The biggest thing is I got 36 days.
36 days.
I'm counting down, and it's just almost like having 5 weeks. It's just like, yeah. But 36 days, that was more encouraging. And just finishing the last few moments of classes at UWF. And I can't wait. I feel like I'm just waiting for the door to open. I'm just gonna just sprint as fast as I can up to Pittsburgh.
Isn't it amazing how when God lays a city on your heart, He lays a city on your heart. It's just like I have to be there, and everything that you thought was just wonderful at one time, just stinks. And you realize you won't feel that way anymore until you get to where you belong. And it's almost like God just stirs the nest, like those bird nests that Donna was filming, which is pretty. It's pretty interesting that the bird came and laid the eggs in the nest. They built the nest, which it served a purpose. Then the birds laid the eggs, and so they're helpless, you know, embryonic eggs in these eggs, and then they got to a certain point of growth that they couldn't stay in there anymore. And they couldn't just feed on what was in the egg, so they started cracking and busting out of the eggshell. You know, we're just watching this take place. It's beautiful. And then they just start going, feed me, feed me. It's like, you know, and you had all these little birds in this nest just saying, feed me, feed me. And so then the mother and the father are flying off, and they fed them so much in a very short period of time. These things went from a little microscopic egg, maybe about an inch or maybe three quarters of an inch, maybe even half an inch, at its from end to end, to birds that were probably about two inches, 3 inches, like that, and they were packed in this nest, kind of just swarmed together. And then, believe it or not, that they started getting onto the edge of the nest and they started exploring things. They would fly out and they would fly back to the nest. And then one day, you're not going to believe this. And then one day, they just left. They just left. And the nest that served a purpose for a season was left behind. And they went out to do the very same thing their mother and father did to them. You know, we're told in the Word of God that God, who is not seen, Romans chapter 1, I believe, can be understood by what is seen, by what He's created. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we got like 500-pound birds in 2-pound nests. It's like, come on, at some point, you got to grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that maybe somebody hasn't challenged you, and you're just looking, you're just saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. I know when God called me, you know, to in one of my seasons of transition, and you know, I was an associate, you know, working on staff at a particular traditional church, and I was so full of the gospel. I was so full of teachings. It wasn't that the teaching was bad. Teaching was great, but I was so full of it. I felt like if I heard one more message, I would choke on it. I could just feel full. I was just full. And at some point, you need to go do something with that which you've learned. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just a natural progression of life. Mm-hmm. And the birds, and we can understand just by watching the birds. Listen, if you're miserable where you are, it's probably because you should have flown out of the nest a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking, man, this thing's tight and restrictive, and they don't feed me as much as they used to, because you're supposed to be getting your own food by now. You should actually talk to God yourself and taste and see the Lord is good. You know, the difference between a child of God, a young man of God, and mothers and fathers in the Lord is a young child, it has to be fed. They can't not yet feed themselves. A young man or young woman of the Lord can feed themselves, but they're still kind of self-focused and they're not focused on others. But when you want to, like that bird, you want to help others, you're willing to go get food for them, and you will start feeding the children so they can grow up, and you will challenge them. And if they won't leave the nest, you'll start pulling sticks and stuff out of the nest. And one day they come back and says, there's just a stick here. I wonder what happened. You know, and it's healthy. It's just healthy. You know, we're talking today. We're going to be talking about rethinking church. Just rethinking. And the church is not a building. I'm talking about rethinking the body of Christ. Rethinking what God's called us to do. You know, realizing this, that God himself, you know, when he was speaking through Jesus, because Jesus said nothing or did nothing unless the Father showed him to do it or said to do it. I mean, that was God moving through him, and he was in his all God and all man. And we can see this is how it's done. He says the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Today we say, you know, I have a hole and I have a nest, but it's just not big enough, so I need a bigger nest so I can do it. I got some more stuff and things, you know, and isn't it amazing? Yeah. It's totally amazing. Even the birds, we can understand God, because he said not even one falls from the sky or from, you know, to the ground, lest he actually knows it happened and actually ordered it.
Right.
And then he even says he knows the numbers, not just every hair, he doesn't just know the number of hairs on your head. He knows there's a number for each hair. Some have fewer numbers than others. But just think about it. Even if it's two, those two hairs got numbers. You know, and today's the end thing is people are shaving their head. I can imagine the time put into that. You know what I'm saying? But hey, I always ask, like, wow, so what do you do and how do you do that? And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of time, you know. Wow. I mean, if they shave it good, I've seen some. It's like you need to get a new mirror. I see some tracks all over that puppy. Anyway, we'll be right back in just a moment.
It is so neat how Steve Hill and Peter Wagner are just hearing the same thing that we're hearing. We've been preparing so long for this day. We had so much foundation to lay. We had so many lessons to learn. God specifically said it would take us 3 years to learn what he's going to teach us that he'll use for the next 30 years. And here we are just this week. Peter Wagner and Steve Hill are talking very specifically what seems radical, but it only seems radical because it's not being done that much. But once you're doing it, it's not radical anymore. Once you break the mindset, I'm talking about transforming nations, how a rapid church planting movement can begin to change the world. Think about it. You know, we go out and we win the lost. Those that believe, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we teach them, we disciple them, in the teachings of Jesus, and then we launch them while they're still being related to do the very same thing. Love God, love others, and he does this. It's radical, but listen, Steve Hill just talks about how radical it is with Peter. Listen up, I'll be right back.
You're talking radical stuff.
Okay? I know it. What I'm saying is...
That's what bugs me, okay? Because how do I, okay? I'm an evangelist pastor, okay? You're everything, okay? And you get out there and you try to get that into somebody's heart, okay, is a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, but it can. People can understand and listen and be born again and filled with the Spirit and move out and do that.
Well, you know I believe that, okay? Yeah. You know I believe that because we, you know, we have fruit. There's fruit that follows. But the message today, okay, in America is needful. Okay, we're right now in a political year, okay, and every year is a political year, but I look at politicians and they get up and the one who has the fiercest voice, the one who has the most powerful message, the one who has this just undying passion, this unction, is the one that seems to slide into, you know, the voters' hearts. And so I'm looking at Christianity and I'm going, okay, the one who is passionate, the one who is able to at work open their mouths and talk about the things of Christ rather than the things just the Bible or sections or portions of the scripture, the whole gospel, that's a concern of mine.
Absolutely. And based on the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed and the salvation that he brought, that is what pastors need. And not just taking care of the sheep, but preaching the gospel that will move through their sheep to those who are not saved and touch them with the gospel and bring them in and continue that process. If we do that, we can see whole cities transformed.
And that's exactly how it was done from the beginning. And we get bogged down with our religion, our traditions, and our philosophies, you know, and we start wondering, why isn't what was happening anymore? We're just bogged down. Mm-hmm. Let's just go back and revisit the original intent of the church. Mm-hmm. It's time to, you know, I don't know where you are. If you are, begin to talk about, read the Word of God, read the whole Word like Steve's talking about, as he's talking to Peter Wagner here, Steve Hill, and just say, you know, I'm ready to do the whole Word of God, and then encourage everybody there to do the same thing. If you're a pastor, you're a teacher, begin to teach the whole Word of God. Don't pull segments out and 3 points of this and 4 points of that. Just go in and dive into the red letters. Dive into the original ten of the church. And if not, if you're presently not related or connected to a fellowship somewhere, or you're just being called out, listen, VFN family might be for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe inside of you, you can be that radical person. Everybody's looking for a political leader to be able to lead a country or to lead a state or lead a county. But let me tell you something. God's looking for somebody who will lead his people. He said he would raise up shepherds for his people. Maybe that's you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are that voice. Where are the leaders in our generation? Look in the mirror and see that personal leader might be you. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. VFNfamily.org, where we're walking out the original tent, just like Peter Wagner just said. VFNfamily.org. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that, I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and Steve Kalaszewski. We were just talking about, you know, what's taking place up in Pittsburgh or going to be soon. Tell us a little bit more. I mean, what's on your heart for Pittsburgh up there?
My goodness, the people. I still just, like I said, I just still see the city and just walking. I just have such a heart. I just can't wait to just talk to the people. And the people that God has just brought to me while I've been in, you know, here locally, and just talking to them and just knowing the fact that I can't wait just to be up there. And like I said, it's just God has a way of, you know, kicking that nest apart wherever you are now. Yeah. To just be like, I cannot wait to for the next season.
Isn't it cool to know that it's normal? Mm-hmm. You know, because you look around and go, I don't see anybody else leaving their nest.
Yeah.
But look how happy they're not. Yeah. Look how unfulfilled they're not. 95%, according to statistics, don't fly. They won't leave the nest. They will not lead one person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The very one that saved them, they won't tell anyone about him. I can't tell you how that works on the scales of justice before the throne of God, but it's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, something's happened. We need to rethink this. You know, maybe our nests are too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, right? It's really difficult, you know, to leave a comfortable nest, isn't it? Sometimes God moves you to a less comfortable nest.
Either that, or he'll just make your nest less comfortable.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was watching. I had a couple moments late last night, when I got back from my deep therapeutic exercise routine. Took a walk around the neighborhood. And I was watching ESPN 17. They got so many different channels. I don't know which one it was ESPN. And I was watching the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about you. Mm-hmm. And I was watching this coach, you know, and how he was just having confidence in his team, how he was, working them slowly up. It's Tomlin, right?
The coach, Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
And it just, things weren't working out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this one statement. Of course, this is going to be your team. I mean, everybody's wearing a Pittsburgh jersey with you now, right? You got to get one.
I got my hat.
That's about it. Oh, that's right. You got your hat. And so, you know, the player came to him. NFL films, I mean, they've mastered the technique of capturing a moment, you know, and you almost feel when you're watching it like you're an athlete. Until you try to get out of your chair and your back hurts and you got to catch your knee.
You're about to fall on the floor.
And you got to set the bucket ice cream down. And so, you know, here he is. Imagine the stress he's under because he's watching these foolish plays. People are dropping balls, you know, and he has to talk to the team. He's the conduit that's going to encourage them or discourage them. And he had a specific word, an individual word for each one of his players. And he would have it, and they would walk by. And I'm thinking, did you even hear what he said? I heard what he said. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, right.
You know, and he held on because he was not, this is what he said to a lot of different, but this is one thing he said to one player. He looks at him, and the player was all caught up at the mistake he made. And he said, he said, listen, that play's history. Let it go. Let's focus on the next one. And the whole game turned around. So many of us are focused on where we messed up, or we made a mistake. I mean, everybody but Pat. But
right.
No, it's just, I'm always joking about that.
He makes plenty of mistakes.
Yeah. Two. Anyway, so then,
we're counting.
No, two. It was less than three and more than one. No, but it was amazing. And we got to let go of things. I mean, first of all, the whole game turns on one good play or one bad play. You know what I'm saying? So you really feel, you know, you don't want to be that one person. And they also show this guy where they're showing the best of basketball. And I think it may have been the NBA. Oh, it probably couldn't have been the NBA. It was probably college. But he throws this big, long shot. And before it hits the rim, it goes to the net. He kneels down on one knee and he does this like thing with his hand. What's it called? You throw your hand like that, like this big pose thing.
Yeah.
But he didn't wait until it went in. It bounced off the rim.
Oh, no.
And it's like, you know, that's a little too soon for you to determine whether it's going to work out or not. But when that player let go of that bad mistake, the bad play, and realized, you know, you have the next play.
Mm-hmm.
When they begin to, and he just kept on just encouraging one at a time, you know, rebuking, correcting, encouraging, all these things that leaders do. And he won. They won the whole season turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing to watch that. He looks like a really quality guy, and he was just focused on it. And that's, you know, and those that are in leadership and in ministry, and everybody's a leader in ministry. But that's what we do. You just keep on helping people. Listen, let that play go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forget what's behind you. Press on towards what's ahead, towards the high call. Right.
Right.
And some of the most difficult things to do sometimes is just to let it go, right? Especially when NFL captures it on film and you go back and watch it over and over again. But the benefit today, we can kind of relate because so much stuff's on film today. You can, if you missed it, go back. You'll see it on YouTube. Somebody had a phone on you somewhere. And You know, I was thinking about Pittsburgh. I was thinking about you in Pittsburgh. And it's so cool, you got Pittsburgh Penguins, Pittsburgh Pirates, and Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Steelers.
City of Black and Gold.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool, man. Mm-hmm. The stadium. Now, you were in the Pirate Stadium when you were sitting there eating
Yancey Park.
Yeah, yeah. And these people right in front of you were from the very, very place you had come from.
Right.
Isn't that cool? That how God just orchestrates all these different things. And that was a beautiful shot. It's a beautiful stadium. There, it was like, is it better than the Blue Wahoo, Pensacola Wahoo Stadium? Or
I haven't been to that stadium yet, but I'm kind of partial to Pittsburgh, so I'm gonna have to go ahead and say hands down for Pittsburgh on that one.
it's much bigger. It's definitely much bigger. Well, you know, it's time for the moment of wisdom. You know, every day, you know, we focus on VFN Radio on a moment of wisdom, just sharing the wisdom from God's word. Wisdom can take you places that knowledge can only wish you would be there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can study. I mean, coming from, you're in the university right now, you're finishing your last Mount Everest, your last class. It's like a computation of
everything.
I mean, it is the main deal. But you've seen a lot of students that are going through, and they're just trying to get more and more and more and more knowledge. You know, and you've already lived life, and you know, you've been in business, and you've served us, which we're grateful for, in the military in Iraq. And but knowledge just doesn't get it, does it? All by itself.
About wisdom.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Big difference.
It's a huge difference, isn't it?
Big difference.
And wisdom could look at a whole truckload of knowledge and go, right?
Yeah.
Because it's such a shame, because it'd be pretty cool to take that knowledge and submit it to wisdom, wouldn't it be? Imagine what, if you're thinking you've gathered so much knowledge now. I mean, people spend 4 years in college. They look around and they don't see any jobs available that they want. So they take another year of college, which is another year of knowledge. And it's like, at what point are you going to realize you're actually going to have to get involved in life?
And apply it.
And you'll gain wisdom. And you can get wisdom from the word of God. You know, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived on the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus is wisdom himself. And he wrote a book. In the book, in the Bible, it's called the Book of Proverbs and Song of Solomon. And I mean, Ecclesiastes. And so what we do, you know, it is the sixth of the month. And so what we do is look at the sixth chapter, because there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And today we are looking at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. And it reads, how long, because this is the economy we're talking about. There's difficulty right now in employment. Employment rate is, I believe, 8.2%. It's still, you know, high, like it's going on. They just report today in the news. It says U.S. unemployment struck at 8.2% as the jobs issues heats up. It's one of the top news stories going on right now. And so, you know, work. How do we eat and how do we work? And you know, and so he talks very specifically in this proverb about the key to it. There's a key to it. And America was built on this wisdom, but we've forgotten it. And now we're trying to take a new way of doing things without applying the original wisdom, which is what knowledge. I figured it out. We don't have to do that anymore. Work? Let's see how that one's working for you. So Proverbs 6, 9 through 11 says, how long? This is the word of God. This is the inspired word of the creator of the universe. This is an inspired book. You know what I'm saying? Many men have tried to imitate it, and we see their end. This is the Holy Book. And so he says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep? A little slumber? A little folding of the hands to rest? In America, poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. That's just powerful. That is so powerful, you know. When you think about it, it says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? So let's look at what's the word sluggard mean? A person who is habitually inactive or lazy.
That's not my dog.
Yeah. Bless its heart. It really is. We'll talk. Let's talk about that in a moment, because I want to talk about when our two dogs played together. Max was shocked at your dog. He's like, "No, I'm fine laying here."
Yeah.
So let's go back to the Word of God. How long will you lay there? That was good. How long will you lay there, you sluggard? So sluggard's like, that's somebody else, obviously. It's always somebody else, right? It's mm-hmm. not. It's not me. It's mm-hmm. not. It's always like it's somebody else. And so somebody says, well, I don't lay there. I sit there. Sluggard is a person who is habitually inactive or lazy. I mean, think about that. They're habitually means they're just constantly inactive. This is probably the most inactive generation there ever has been. What's that movie? The movie that you said, oh, you got to see this movie, you know, a long time ago, was the movie about the people who sat in some chairs and never moved, and somebody actually.
It was Wally.
It was Wally, yeah.
Wally, hey. So.
Very good.
So that movie, Wally, and you told me about the movie, you got to see this movie. And, you know, and I made it to the first 2 or 3 minutes and just. You know, crash. But I understood the gist. It was amazing because they sat there in their chairs. Kind of give us about a 1 minute, 30 second run.
Yeah, it's a Disney movie talking about how basically the people that lived on the earth, they just used up all their resources of everything. And they're like, all right, well, we'll just leave this place. Mm-hmm. They leave. And then all this technology, they had these bionic seats, and they were so tied into the seats that they never talked to another human being. And then
it's like a Lazy Boy on a laptop.
Exactly. And somebody's Lazy Boy breaks, and all of a sudden they bump into somebody else, and they're like, oh my gosh.
They're lazy.
There's somebody right next to me. And then all of a sudden, it's like, as they pan out, there's like hundreds of thousands of people all around like this beautiful pool, but nobody has any idea because they're sitting on their Lazy Boys with Slurpee staring at a TV. And somebody's like, we have a pool. I didn't know that.
Wow.
And it, to me, it just brought so much reality to, you know, we're the plugged in nation, but we have right. no idea. We've lost the ability to communicate, have relationships.
There's no touch.
Correct.
There was all that. And begin to find out. And you know, there's so many virtual happenings that people really say, you know, they have so many friends on their Facebook that these are how many friends I have. And it's like, that's not really, it's the name of the button, the logarithm behind that button that makes right. these things connect. But that's not a friend. A friend is one who sits closer than a brother, right?
Right.
That's a really good movie. You got to check that movie out. So we're coming to the end, so I want to make sure I get this in. So how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? Think about it. A little sleep, a little slumber. Slumber is defined as to sleep, especially lightly, just kind of dozing. Oh, I'm just kind of lazing around, you know, and which is cool to do, you know, every now and then. I mean, you need to rest, but it's not something you do for a year. It's not something you do
daily.
You know, right? It's just not right. And it's really weird how it works, because the more water you drink, the thirstier you get. And we're not in that proverb now, but it's, you know, the more you sleep, the more sleepier you're going to be. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of just the body just kicks into that, which means if the more you work, the more you're going to want to work. You can't sit still anymore. But it's an active state. And then it says that a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will overtake you like a bandit. That's like a robber. What happens is, you know, because, you know, we get darker and darker in understanding, if we do that, then we just think that we're going to figure this out. We'll see the bandit coming and we'll shoot him, but it doesn't happen that way. Yeah, if you break in, dead. Sorry. Do you know Jesus? No, you better know him now, because you fix to meet him. And so then, you know, the enemy blinds you to make you think that you are gonna see it coming, but it robs you. You don't see the thief coming. It just happens all of a sudden. So one day you're rolling over on your couch, you're watching something, you know, some program, whatever, and all of a sudden they knock on your door and said, oh, by the way, this is not your door anymore, and this is not your house anymore, and this is not your car anymore. And then your wife looks at you and says, this is not your family anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, it progresses that way. You know, and so I want to encourage you that listen, that spirit's going across this land, and it's not going to pay off. We're going to have to get busy again, you know, getting active and do something. At least you do nothing. Do you know that I bet you anything that many businesses started Not because they wanted to start their own business, because nobody would hire them. They didn't need any employees. And so they started thinking, how am I going to be able to make some money? And so they go out there and say, listen, I got a squeegee and I got some cleaner. I'm going to go wash business windows. And somebody else says, you know, I got a lawnmower. I can go start cutting some grass. Do they pay you like 40, 50 bucks to cut their yard? You know, somebody else says, hey, you know what? I can clean the pool. I could go get on a YouTube video. I could see how to clean the pool, start cleaning the pool. You know, somebody else says, you know, I'm going to go there and just start helping somebody. Maybe one day they'll hire me. That's called internships. I'm going to make a job out of getting a job. Mm-hmm. You know, put 40 hours a week, just 40 hours a week. Take the rest of your time to enjoy your life and be fruitful in the kingdom of God and all those things you're doing. But God expects us to be fruitful in the workplace. And he's going to bless the work of our hands and show diligence in regards to getting active. Listen, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty, if it hasn't already, is going to take you like a bandit. If you're living off something coming from the government, it's going to end at some point. They can't keep on sending that. That's to give you time so you can make a job out of getting a job. Mm-hmm. You know, don't wait until that's over with and thinking that the opportunity is going to drop out of the sky. God blesses the work of your hands. Not the hopes of your head. You know what I'm saying? You got to get involved in the process. And this is America right now in America, right now. You know, you can start your own business. I mean, if you make the very same thing you made working for someone else, you can have your own business and you can be, you can determine what you're going to do with your time. I mean, if you made the very same, a lot of people say, I'm not going to get business for myself because I wouldn't make any more than I'm making now. But it's your business. It's your business. You have freedom. I think about Gideon, Gideon's International. They will not even take anybody on as part of what they do, you know, distributing Bibles and all, unless they're a supervisor, unless they own their own business. The reason why is because you have control of your time. Think about it. If you want to, this is a perfect time for you. When you look at some of the wealth that was created in America, it was created during the times when everybody else was at this present point where they're thinking, nobody's giving me nothing and nothing's happening. And somebody just had an innovative idea and they said, you know, I'm going to do something about this. Listen, God will give you, he will bless the work of your hands. He'll bless your movement and your faith. You got to keep moving. You got to get out of bed. You got to get dressed. You got to turn off all your media devices that are distracting you, causing you to think you're doing something like Steve was talking about in that particular movie. And realize it's actual physically going somewhere. And when you show up for an interview, practice your interview. Understand, role play with somebody before you show up. Understand they're looking at you because they care about their business. They don't know you yet. So they want to see that you care about their business. And if you care about their business, they just might start caring about you. Mm-hmm. So you need to educate yourself on that particular business or company. Listen, God, we are seeing people in Vine Fellowship Network. I mean, headhunters, which are people that go out and look for those to be able to employ in their company. They're coming after our people to hire them. We have contracts, county contracts and city contracts, like down in Tampa, being given to people who are doing, who are walking with God, who are walking in this what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's financial difficulties and struggles happen and all that, but listen, you know, you can't just sit there. I mean, he tells us in his word, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will overtake you like a bandit. And you know, he goes on to say, but we're not talking about that today. You know, consider the ant. And the ant stores up and realize that you may have a seasonal business and you have, don't think, you know, you're going to make it through the season that your business is not busy. You got to do twice as much during the present season you have business so you can actually store up provision for the low season. If you have a business, you know, and you're stuck in the way you do business, we understand this, that you, can adapt your company. What I did, you know, when I had my plastics fabrication company, that I would look at different ways I can use the very same equipment I had to be able to do practically anything, because I know I'd come back, and Pat and I were working together in the plastics company, and I'd come in with stuff from the hospital and say, yeah, we can do it, right?
Yep.
And then I'd say, Pat, figure this out. But, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it was an extra, you know, grand or so coming in for that. You got to be creative and be flexible. You know, I've always built the widgets this way, and this is how it is. And okay, good, good, good. Yeah, okay, good. So I've always built the widgets this way, and if you get stuck, you know, and Harley Davidson did that. Harley Davidson, I think in the 60s, they just had a mindset. They had a mindset that, you know, this is how we do it, and this is what we're doing, and we're not going to do it any differently. And then they realize we're not going to have a business if we don't change our mind and innovate. And there's one commercial. I love this commercial years ago. So far it could be black and white. No, it wasn't. And they were sitting in there in this office place, and I thought time was running out, so I was moving quickly. And I was looking for time. And so they were in suits, and all of a sudden everything in the office started shifting. When everything started shifting, somebody ended up with a football in their hand, and they threw the football to somebody who was wearing a suit. And then all of a sudden the football turned into a basketball. Then they started playing basketball, and then the office switched again and again and again. And that was like, you know, maybe a decade ago. And now I think that happens every 5 minutes. Things are changing, as we talked about yesterday, you know, with the book, The World is Flat, understanding that you got to, you don't evolve in who God is, you know, what crazy things are going on, but you actually have to evolve in the workplace. You have to be able to be innovative, creative. You got to be able to take risks. You got to be, right now, since everything's going to be shifting, let me give you some wisdom right now. If you think you're going to keep doing what you're doing presently, in regards to your state of knowledge and your business and that type of thing, it's very few people in America that's going to be able to stay at that kind of work, because it's just going to shift. It's going to shift to the Asian area of the world. It always does. It's a cycle when things shift that way and they shift back this way. But they have cheaper labor. They have cheaper labor. So the things that require, you know, physical labor and that type of thing, since they can do that cheaper, it's going to go that way. 1.2 billion people in India who are looking, and now they're getting online presence, according to what we talked about yesterday. You can find out more for the purpose for them to get into the workplace. And you look at China's doing that as well. You know, most of the iPhone is created and put together in China. There was an article in Time magazine that it had an iPhone that was opened up, and it had Chinese people doing their exercise drills inside the phone. And I thought, you know, nobody realizes, you know, what's happening. And in the book, The World is Flat, he talks about that. And what does that mean? I mean, things like what Steve's doing. Steve's getting his education, but he's also applying his education and realizing that even with VFNU, for example, you know, we're going to be talking about in the extra hour, you know, the reason they took statistics about, you know, pastors, and the reason why they ended up being asked to leave their church or voted out or whatever. One of the reasons they believed, one was they never were trained on how to manage. They weren't trained on how to handle all this multitasking type stuff. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn that. And we as believers should be teaching each other. And what we have is VFNU. Mm-hmm. You know, once you're discipled and you're rightly related in Vine Fellowship Network, we go deeper in that. And in VFNU, we teach, you know, value-based vision management. You got to be able to manage your time. You know, if you showed up at an interview with the ability to use something like the Franklin Covey planning system and how to prioritize your day and how to build projects and how to prioritize projects, you may know more than the one that's interviewing you. And they might be intimidated. I don't know. You got to be careful how you present that. But they're going to go, we've been looking for you. You know, I mean, look at Joseph. He was a slave, but he had an anointing on his life. And when they saw that he actually produced, Potiphar brought him into the house, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you that Proverbs lets us know, if we go the area of just laziness and being a sluggard and just kind of lazing around, it's just not going to happen. And look at the crew that fell for that lie. I mean, they're just depressed. There's a lot of crime. And eventually you just get bored. I mean, eventually you just got to, like, you know, you just want to stir something up. You just lose. It's like, something's got to happen, right? You know, and so, you know, an idle mind is the devil's playfield. You got to be productive. God's called you to be creative. And there is a season for needing help and these different things. But use that provision that's coming to you so that it takes care of your needs while you're making a job out of getting a job. Think about that. Make a job out of getting a job. And you might even start your own business in that. So I want to remind you this morning, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, and this is what the word of wisdom moment is for today. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an Iron Man. We'll be right back. Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I mean, that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right? And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right,
you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios for the last few moments is Steve Kolesetsky and Pat Hamilton. We've been talking about the moment of wisdom today, and we're going to the end of the hour. I want to be able to say, if you're leaving us and not going to be able to join us in the extra hour, God bless you. I pray that your day is blessed. Realize that God's plans are good for you. For those that are joining us in the extra hour, don't forget you can come back and check it out later on your VFN TV app and listen to the radio or on your computers or iPads and all. But we're going to be talking about, you know, statistics. We got to rethink church. We need to rethink it back to the original intent. Why? Because 50% of pastors feel unable to meet their jobs in their present condition. These are statistics we're going to talk about. 70% of pastors say that they now have lower self-esteem today than they did when they first started ministry. 80% of pastors believe that the pastoral ministry has a negative effect on their family. And it's like 70% of pastors feel like they don't have one close friend to be able to sit down with, that they're leaving many are leaving. And the thing is that maybe, I know, we'll just explore. Maybe we need to rethink it. Maybe we need to rethink church. That kind of pressure shouldn't been on you in the first place. You know, just like those birds that we talked about, we should have trained some people up to be able to taste and see the Lord is good so they can feed others. Listen, if that's you and you're at the end of your rope, don't do what so many are doing on a regular basis. They're just leaving the ministry. They're not only stepping down from their pulpits, but they're leaving the ministry altogether, leaving the church altogether. You don't want to do that. I can understand why, but listen, God's not going to leave you. There's hope. When we get back to the original intent, if we rethink it, I mean, we got atheists now over the church. We're going to be playing an interview from atheists that are actually pastoring churches, and they're going, I can't find a better job, so that's why I'm here. I'm like, leave. You know, the sad thing is that the church doesn't even know that the one that's leading them is an atheist, and his wife, one of the guys' wife, don't even know. And it's like, have we got that disassociated from each other? We can rethink this thing. We can rethink church. Join us in the extra hour today. I want you to be encouraged. Realize that we're saying these things because they're truth, and we're also saying to let you know we can rethink it. We can rethink church and say, let's go back and look at the Church of Acts and see how God wants us to work it, and realize that if we train each other up in the way they should go, if we make disciples, if we train and launch, you got to join us. You're going to be very, very encouraged. We're ending the extra the first hour here. We're going to move into the extra hour. God bless you, and we'll see you in the extra hour on VFN Radio.